Welcome to Alternative Dog Moms Podcast. I'm Kimberly Gauthier, the creator of Keep the Tail Wagging. For the past 9 years, I've been blogging about raw feeding, pet wellness, and life as a crazy dog mom. I've seen massive improvements in my dog's health since I started raising my dogs naturally, and I'm passionate about sharing my experience to help other pet parents.
I'm Erin Scott. For the past 9 years, I've been researching and learning everything I can about healing cancer, allergies, autoimmune, and mystery illnesses in both my dogs and myself. And I can't wait to share with you everything I've learned on this journey. As the Alternative Dog Moms, we're bringing you all the latest dog health news that we're following and sharing the tips, tricks, and resources we learn along the way. Now, let's get started. Hello, Kimberly.
Hello, Erin.
So we are joined today with veterinarian Dr. Jeff Feinman. Welcome.
Thank you. Hello.
So we're really excited to get to talk to you. And I've heard your name for many years. I actually had consulted with Dr. Christina Chambreau years ago and have always been on her email list. And I think that's where I had first heard about you and your Holistic Actions program. And we're going to cover all of that today. But we always love starting off with a good origin story. So can you tell us about how you decided to become a veterinarian? And then how did you decide to get into holistic modalities from there?
Great, great question, and I don't think you want the answer. It goes back to 1974, but the simple answer is that I've actually always, I'm one of those genetically programmed, I never wanted to do anything else. So when I was five, I knew I wanted to be a vet. My uncle Lizzie takes credit for that. Yeah. So yeah, I've always wanted to be a vet, and I've always had a very high natural curiosity. And my original, investigations were into science and magic and the natural world and animals. And I lived with a bunch of animals, but I think by high school, I knew that science was the way I wanted to go and figure out how things worked. And there was nothing to me more incredible than the body and learning how the animals work from the inside out. And that's pretty much what I did, starting with research and going to U of P. And they liked my research so much, they let me decide if I want to go to med school or vet school. And it was a no-brainer for me, but I went to vet school and was planning on, they wanted me to stay in academia. In fact, they gave me a full scholarship, and I lost a full scholarship because I wanted to work with the animals. And actually, I've been on the clinical course ever since, but purely conventionally for many years. I graduated, did my internship, was studying to be an internal medicine specialist, worked in an ER, worked as a house call vet, and all conventionally until one client in the late 80s with severe rheumatoid arthritis told me about these things that a rheumatologist recommended, and they were, that had cured her symptoms, and I had never learned about them in vet school, and those were omega-3 fatty acids. And that was the beginning of the opening of the rabbit hole, because then I started investigating, all the different modalities, and learned that we had a really, really limited set of tools that we were graduated with, and was able to expand upon those. And then the 90s came, and later 90s, and discovery that even the holistic stuff, the nutrition and the supplements and the physical stuff I had learned was still just a fraction of what was out there. So,
yeah, I'm always, Kimberly and I are both probably older than you think we are, but, I remember life before the internet and growing up without the internet. And I guess, I'm always fascinated when you know, you're able to kind of start learning about all these things without the internet. and that's like amazing to me. So how did you start like learning and getting, you know, connected with different, were you connecting with different people or organizations, or how did that all come about?
That's a great question. And I think the answer may be, as she said, it was pre-internet, and the library was one of my best friends. So spending a lot of time investigating and reading, and, you know, in vet school, I got, it was the only magazine or journal I got was the New England Journal of Medicine, and, you know, a discovery of what the body could do. I'll never forget a picture of a college graduate in math that was like a high achiever, and they were showing a CAT scan, one of the early CAT scans of his brains. There were no brains. It was all empty. He had this thin little line of brain that was all he needed to, you know, become a mathematical PhD student. And yeah. So yeah, just reading, following up on stuff, reading lots of books. You know, it was actually a general holistic book that guided me to the energy modalities. I was reading about general holistic medicine and saw a chapter on, you know, what was helping a lot of people more than anything else they had tried, and it was something called homeopathy, which I'd never heard about before.
Well, I was going to say, I have my Dr. Pitt Cairn's book here.
I have that too.
And, I'm pretty sure this was one of the first like holistic books that I bought on my journey. This is the fourth edition. I think they're up to the fifth edition now. And so you actually got to study with him. Is that right?
I did. Yes, that is right. And it's an interesting story because I discovered homeopathy on my own through reading. I was experimenting on myself and my dog in the spring, and my own lifelong allergies went away, and I said, wow, there must be something, and lots of stuff improved with my dog. And by that fall, I was studying Dr. Pitcairn and in his classes, because that was just the way to practice good medicine in my mind. And that was really my only intent from the beginning, was to be able to practice to the full extent of us being able to learn and practice.
You know, we talked a little bit about homeopathy on here before, and I only know like a couple things that I feel really comfortable using, both on myself and for my dogs. And so is it the kind of thing, you know, are there things that it is like, obviously it's never unsafe to use different homeopathic remedies, but like, do we really need to work with someone, or are there like simple things that we can just do ourselves and that's okay?
Yeah, that's a great question. And you know, as someone who's gone beyond just using homeopathy in practice, because when I discovered it, that was what I was doing, was, you know, it's all about homeopathy. But now it's about the framework of self-healing that homeopathy is all about. But nutrition is all about that. Supplements are about that. But you're supporting the body while it heals, you know, rather than curing that underlying energetic imbalance, which they don't teach us about in vet school. But to answer your question, it depends. And that, by the way, is the answer to every medical question that there is.
It depends. So true.
It depends on the context. If it's an acute problem, then yeah. I mean, actually, a big reason that HA exists, that holistic Atkins exists, is that each pet parent had to empower themselves with homeopathy and other, you know, other lifestyle things that can activate the healing of the body, like getting them off processed food onto fresh food, which can often be, that's all you have to do is get them onto a proper diet.
What are your thoughts on the homeopathic kits that people can buy? Because I've actually purchased one, but one thing that I've noticed is that, you know, you don't see them, you know, there's two different, where I live, there's two different types of supplement stores. They're the ones that I call them the fake supplements, where it has all the popular stuff, the gummies that for diet, weight loss. And, you know, if it has a turmeric supplement, when you look at the ingredients, it's probably, you know, about 2% turmeric and the rest is a bunch of fillers. But then there's the natural supplement stores, which is, we have one, Seattle Super Supplements, that I love. And they have a whole homeopathic section that it reminds me of when I was in college and I would just sit in the library all day. I will stand in that aisle for 30 minutes and they'll come by like, can I help you? And I'm like, no, I'm just reading. And because I'm reading every single thing and it's so tempting to buy every single item. But what are your thoughts on those?
I love the kits and I would love it if everybody in America had a kit, because those kits are getting harder to come by. Mm-hmm. The FDA is trying to regulate them away. In fact, a lot of them now are imported, and you are so fortunate to have a store nearby that carries all the remedies.
It does. It has all, and they're actually surprisingly affordable, you know, because, I mean, well, actually, I haven't been there in a couple of years, so I'm curious to know what they cost right now. But that's what was another thing that surprised me, is I thought that, I mean, they're not cheap. I mean, it's cheaper to get an actual kit than to buy them individually, but you can, if there's specific ones, I will go, I have hay fever. Well, I did. I don't really have it so much anymore, but I went and got that. But while I'm standing there, I'm like, well, sometimes I have aches and pains. Sometimes I feel anxious. Sometimes I have trouble sleeping. And before I know, my cart is filled with 15 little remedies. And that's when I decided I'm just going to go ahead and get a kit. So, but it's just, it's such a cool thing to, like what you were saying about empowering pet parents. And just one more thing, a couple years ago, I had a dog, he's since passed, but he was diagnosed with lymphoma. And a veterinarian put together a homeopathic treatment plan for him. And it warmed my heart, because as an accountant by day, I love a checklist. But I created this entire graphic of that focused around giving these homeopathic treatments, as well as, you know, what his diet was and other supplements that I added to his diet. And all of these things together helped him live a year and a half longer than what his veterinarian expected him to live.
Hey, quick question for you. Are you someone who wants to be fit, healthy, and happy? And what if I told you you could get your dream body by simply just listening to a podcast? I'm Josh.
And I'm KG, and we are the hosts of the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast.
Listen, we get it. Fitness isn't easy. Carbs, no carbs.
Just stop, okay? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And that's why we made this podcast. We get straight to the facts so you can become your best you.
So the way to check us out is click the link in the show notes or go search Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast on any of the major podcast platforms. We'll see you soon.
And that's fantastic. And you brought up a great, very important point, but that's been my experience, is that when we get out of the way and when we allow nature to work, they live longer. We really, as veterinarians or doctors, don't really appreciate what the body can do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was stop for a walk. It's a gorgeous day here, and the birds are very, very loudly chirping. And I realize that the whole approach, really, at this point, is a back to basics approach. I mean, it's really, you know, nature is providing a framework. It happens to be the same framework of homeopathy, and it also happens to be, you know, the framework of life and spirituality and connection and, you know, the unconditional love that we have with our pets is transformative and healing and can be harnessed. to actually help them live longer, and they will live longer. And I say that every day. People tell me, my vet told me my old 12-year-old cat is going to die. It's like, well, first of all, that's a middle-aged cat.
Yes, I know.
But the reality is that's what we're taught.
Yeah. Well, I have an 18-year-old. Is he? Yeah, 18-year-old cat. And he's fine. He's absolutely fine. I mean, it's like people, every now and then someone is like, do you still have that cat? And I'm like, surprisingly, yes. My partner, he's convinced that Cosmo died years ago. And that's his ghost that's haunting him. Because it's like he doesn't understand why he's still around. What's funny is that Cosmo is my litmus test. He's the one that keeps me from going overboard with my dogs, because the only change I made for him was his diet. I took him off of kibble. You know, I put him on canned. Then I transitioned to raw. He lasted on raw for maybe 2 weeks. And then I transitioned him back to canned and then moved him to freeze dried. And he's been on freeze dried ever since. But I don't give him supplements. I don't, you know, I just let him live his life, and he is fine. He's fine.
They're really good at that, living their life in the moment and to the fullest. And there's really only one thing that gets in the way of that, and that's...
Yes, I know.
Us, right. Us.
Yeah, it's so true. It is. It's so easy. I mean, I feel like the internet is such an amazing tool. Social media is such an amazing tool. And I've learned so much over the past decade about, you know, raw feeding and just different. I mean, everything that I've learned for my dogs, I've applied to myself. I said earlier that, you know, I had hay fever. I grew up with allergies. And I remember, for me, I had allergies. You know, I'm old enough to remember before, like when the only allergy medicine was Benadryl. So I just had to suffer during the day when I went to school. It was awful. But today I hardly have allergies, despite the fact that I am surrounded by many of my triggers, but it's because I add functional mushrooms to my diet. And I got that idea because I started doing it for my dogs. And, but yes, there's so much that we can learn. I'm just so impressed with the idea of, I'm curious about how much I would have learned pre the internet. Even though I was always a naturally curious person, it just seems kind of overwhelming, the amount of information that's out there.
It's almost problematic. Overwhelm and the anxiety of uncertainty and not knowing what to do because of all these options. Maybe among one of the biggest problems that I see in pet parents is...
Yes.
Well, I just got off consultation where they were in the same space. It's like, well, how do I heal this? What do I do? You know, I'm a follower of this guy. He says this thing and something else. And it's like, well, you know, it's really simple. I'm really a simple guy, and less is more. And, you know, it's really all about the energetic frequency of your thoughts and intention and what you love in life and what your dog loves in life. And my treatments are all based around something called the happiness protocol, which basically is just identifying what makes your dog happiest, doing it, then doing it more, and evaluating the response, because I've never actually seen a dog not respond to the happiness protocol. And, you know, what are we looking at? The favorite things in the world? Food, sniff walks, playing, getting loved up by, you know, by mom and dad. I mean, just do it.
I love that. I mean, it reminds me, when you were talking, I thought of the phrase, where your attention goes, energy flows. And that hits home for me very much.
So I know I've been very guilty of this in the past, when you feel like something is wrong with your dog and like you're not sure what, and you're stressed and you're like, I have to do this, you know. And being in the moment with my dog is probably the one thing that has kept me grounded during those times. But how do we keep ourselves sane when we know something's wrong?
Oh, my goodness. Well, your dog is the very best way to do that. I don't know if you've seen Eckhart Tolle's little Guardians Being book.
Which is all
about awakening and staying in the moment and not being stressed out through animals and nature. And what you just described is perhaps the biggest epidemic in the world today, and that is getting out of the head. Mm-hmm. So how can you get out of your head? Conscious breaths. You know, I recommend to everyone when they go to the vet or before they go to the vet or if they're uncertain to do what I call resilient breathing. And resilient breathing is you just stand like Wonder Woman, you know, with your hands on your tongue at the tip of the roof of your mouth. Big smile, 5 breaths in, hold it for 5 breaths out, hold it for 5, and do that a couple times, and
you'll
feel better. And of course,
I'm going to do that in front of Johan and just not explain to him what I'm doing.
it's really funny watching it, you know, outside the vet office or inside the vet office, for sure. But go outside, look at a tree, do some leaning against a tree, knowing that the tree and the universe is there to support you and that everything you're worried about is made up.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I mean, I started my gardening yesterday. So I'm building, I'm growing starch from seeds. So that was, it didn't take a long time. But it was like so peaceful. I didn't have the TV going. I wasn't listening to anything. I was just sitting there counting little tiny seeds and putting them into dirt and covering them. And it was so nice. And I was just like, I love this time of year. It's just so nice.
And we're watching the miracle of rebirth. You know, the dead trees and plants all coming back to life. It's just... And our dogs were able to do the same thing. I mean, I have seen so many hundreds of dogs that are cats and people that are on death's door or that seem that they are, and then they're fine. It's like my father-in-law in his mid-80s with metastatic cancer and amputation. He failed hospice a couple of times. You know, went into hospice and got so happy he left hospice. there was a great psychologist, I think a psychologist, a psychiatrist, Aaron Beck, started cognitive behavioral therapy around the same time as positive psychology started, actually at Penn in the 80s. But that's not the story. But Aaron said before he passed at 99 that he would see patients with the most severe pathology go away when they were in their, what he called their sweet spot. And that's really the basis of the happiness protocol, because it's really easy to get a dog or cat or any animal really into the sweet spot. And they're not in their mind-made sense of worry about the future or what I did or what I didn't do.
Yeah. And I think that's the beauty of animals.
Absolutely. So do you think that diet is like the most important thing, like the number one change that we should focus on?
That's a really good question. I have to answer that by saying it depends.
It depends.
And the reason I would say that is because I've seen many, many animals that have had their problems permanently resolved just by diet upgrade. Mm-hmm. Conversely, I've seen 16, 17, 18-year-old Great Danes that are on lowest quality kibble. Mm-hmm. The difference is the individuality of, you know, of the dogs, but also their happiness level.
Yeah.
I mean, the dogs that I know that are giant dogs that have lived, you know, long, long lives ones that typically had agency. They're able to do what they wanted to do when they wanted to do it. They were playing with other dogs. They were not confined or constrained by, you know, by our lifestyle. Yeah. And, you know, look at Bobby. I mean, how old was Bobby? 31?
I think that's what they said.
Yeah.
You know, and his life was just, you know, living on a farm, running around and, you know, having a good life, eating fresh food and no special diet, no special. But yeah, I mean, it's helpful. But, you know, Kimberly, I'm sorry, as a food focused person with a lot of, you know, micro, you know, balancing stuff out, I think there's more important stuff out there.
I love that answer so much. You have no idea. Yeah, I have friends. I mean, I have a whole circle of friends. We're all animal lovers. We get together all the time and we always bring our dogs with us. And one of my friends she lives on 15 acres. And so I take my dogs up to her property once a week just to walk around the property. And when I show up, she hears my car. She just opens her door, lets her dogs out. And then my dogs, I just walk them around the property. And what's funny is that, and this is, I used to be very, very adamant about raw feeding or bust. It has to be raw feeding. But as I had this friendship and have known all of these dogs since they were puppies and all of them were kibble fed, these are dogs that are living until they're 16, 17 years old, and they're living healthy lives until the end. And I think that, you know, when I started thinking about, well, what are they doing that is leading to that? And that is one of the things is, you know, these dogs live on land. They're running around, they're exploring, they're exposed to all these different things. It's just not about diet. I mean, I think diet's a beautiful key. If you took a pie chart, I think you can divide it into equal sections where, yes, diet is important, but so is exercise and fresh air and being outside and engaging and just basically living a life, being able to be dogs. Because my dogs are the happiest when we're on these pack walks and they're running around with their friends and they're sniffing. And what's funny is that I am walking a lot of times by myself with 6 to 8 dogs. And you would think that, you know, am I going to be able to control all these dogs? No, they listen when I say, nope, we're going this way. It's like, it is so organized. I feel like a master dog trainer when I'm out there with them because everyone's listening to me and they're doing really well. No one runs off and, you know, there's a pond on the trail. And so a couple of them will jump in and start swimming. They have a great time. And I truly believe that seeing that over the years, that is the key for many dogs to live a long life.
Yeah, I definitely agree. There is one other factor that I think is really, really, really important that it may go along with diet as far as the importance, and that is the way you choose to address their symptoms and their body in general. Are you focused on the red ear? Are you focused on the itchiness? Are you going to put them on all kinds of drugs and do all kinds of things to get rid of that individual symptom? Or are you going to focus on Archie's beam? That's Archie and beam. Right below that beam is an acronym that everyone tracks at home. So everyone I know that works with dogs keeps a journal. Even if they're not an accountant and they have a BEAM score every day, where BEAM stands for behavior, energy, appetite, and mood.
Oh.
And those are things that they're semi-quantitative, so they're not, you know, laboratory quality biomarkers, but you don't need to go to the vet. And you can assess every individual symptom based on BEAM. So he's got a red eye, or he's got a mouse, or he's got, but his BEAM is high. It's probably not affecting the underlying energy balance as much as other things would be. Whereas if BEAM drops, even if there are no other physical symptoms, you want to go right to your vet because something's going on.
Say those again for us.
Beam is behavior. Does your dog get up and greet with the door? Are they interactive? Energy. Again, getting up, walking around. Do they go as far in the walk? So are they leading you on the walk? Are they behind you on the walk? Do they do a quarter mile or an hour? Appetite, which is the easiest to quantitate, because you can look at how long does it take them to eat. Does he eat everything? Do they eat whatever you give them? Do they finish their bowl? That kind of thing. And mood, which is kind of the hardest one to quantitate, but it goes right, it affects behavior directly.
Okay.
That's pretty cool.
There are a lot of people that can look at their dog and say, he's in a bad mood. Or he's anxious. So, yeah, I think the focus needs to be, at least in my world, the focus is away from individual symptoms and on the beam, because beam reflects happiness and quality of life. The only veterinary, actually it's changing now in the past decade or so, but what used to be the only veterinarians that focus on quality of life with the oncologist. Now it's becoming more, I think more prevalent among a bunch of us, but still we get scared by physical symptoms. Oh my gosh, and symptoms can be inside the body or outside the body. The beam is externally visible, but abnormal liver test results and kidney tests or any diagnosis, those are all internal symptoms. So you could have a really good beam and an ALT of 1,000 or something, and that shows that there's still something energetically going on in the body that's affecting the liver. So you need to, at that point, start proactively going forward.
And how are you thinking about your dog now? Thinking about your dogs going over the beam?
Oh, yeah. Oh, but yeah.
It's hard not to. I like thinking about it like the balance beam.
Yeah.
Beam of light, which is coming from the sun, which is connecting the physical. The sun is a physical entity, but the beam of light, the heat and the warmth and the energy that's allowing your body to work, that's not so much physical. So what exactly is that beam? But yeah, the beam is helpful. Pretty much, I don't think I've met many people that haven't found it useful.
I have a senior girl. She's 10 years old, and we were outside playing soccer yesterday. And she's so funny because she's still active and happy and running around. So I immediately thought of just our time outside playing soccer. And it's like, her beam is high.
Well, I'm thinking of my older guy who's been very grumpy ever since we adopted a new dog.
And there's the, it depends, you have to assess your beam in the context of what's going on in the house for sure. Is it the other dog? Have you considered like flower essences or other things to get them to get along? Or?
Well, we've actually made some good steps recently. I was just telling Kimberly that they hung out by the front door together this morning, and we had like this great 5 or 10 minutes, and then she was getting warm because we get all that the morning sun, and got up, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna put her back on the other side of the gate now, so that everybody has like these, short bursts of good time before anything went wrong. The mailman came and they all got worked up or something.
that's super wise. As far as a focus on the good, and don't even let the and I'm not gonna even call it bad, but the challenging behavior, don't let it exist.
Yeah, she's just a younger dog, and she's just a lot, and she wants to play, and she wants to pounce on him, and he does not want that. So it's been, teaching her that, you can hang out together, but not pounce on him.
Yeah, maybe only right after she gets to work out for an hour or two around, and then they can go together.
Yeah. Oh, so yeah, it's been an interesting couple of months.
Ah, if it's only a couple of months, he'll get to, I mean, this will be their first spring together,
yes.
I guess. Then.
Yes.
So, yeah. And if you can get your older dog like to play cheese or run around, or he doesn't do that
anymore. He hasn't done that in a while. He's kind of a weird dude. He's kind of an anxious guy. And yeah, he did like to chase our other dog. His best friend, you know, companion dog had passed away last year. And so I feel like he hasn't been ever been quite as playful since we lost her, you know?
Yeah.
Well, that kind of loss can create what I call an energetic entanglement, like an obstruction. It's like there are, you asked me earlier about homeopathic remedies for what you guys can do at home. And there are, you know, we call them the four awesome A's that definitely everyone should learn. But there's another one for that grief. Pet loss grief is a big one. And grouchiness and being off ever since the loss of a loved one is one of those, you know, one of those situations that you can definitely prescribe for at home on your own. It's like one of the four awesome A's, it's arnica.
Mm-hmm.
You can pretty much never go wrong giving a dog arnica after an injury.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can also pretty much never go wrong giving a dog Ignatia after a loss.
Okay.
But the four awesome A's, before I forget to mention them again, are arnica, which is going to help with any injury healing of the body. And I've heard from conventional vets that they're just amazed at the, you know, the speed that healing can proceed when it's allowed to do so. But arnica, aconite, which is, you know, pure acute fever, cough, that kind of thing. Arsenicum album, diarrhea, vomiting, you know, that kind of thing. And Apis, which is a really important emergency remedy. Apis is bees.
Okay.
So if they get bit by a bee, just give them a dose of Apis right afterwards.
Okay.
On the way to the ER, if you think that you need to go to the ER, for sure. But I've seen a lot of dogs swell up after bee bite. They go right to the ER and give the Apis on the way, and when they get there, the ER sends them home.
Nice.
That'll save you some money.
All right.
So, one of the other ones that I keep on hand, and I'm just curious to get your thoughts, with tick bites, we keep homeopathic Letum around all the time. And we haven't had to use it a whole lot, but we have used it a couple times, and we've been very fortunate that we've never had any tick bite illnesses pop up in our dogs. Is that one that you're familiar with too?
I am, and a friend of mine who's passed away, unfortunately, came up with the Letum protocol for ticks and Lyme. I myself have never found it to be useful. I find that Lyme is typically a chronic imbalance that needs to be treated individually. But that being said, I myself had acute Lyme, you know, with a deer tick that I saw bite my thigh and the rash and 105 fever and all the symptoms. Homeopathy directed at me as an individual, not directed at Lyme, but directed to what my body was saying at that moment. I was fine within 2 days. And that was, you know, decades and decades ago. And that was, I mean, I said, this couldn't be. This was the beginning of my journey. So I did all the diagnostic tests afterwards to see if it really was Lyme. And actually, with Lyme and early, I had a co-infection.
Wow.
But sure, it's not going to hurt, Aaron. I mean, give that latum after a tick bite. But you know, research-wise, what I think is even more helpful is they get a tick bite and there's something, you know, like a red rash there, which is just inflammation. But that's also where the Borrelia is beginning to reproduce in the skin and then go throughout the body. So maybe if you pull off a tick and it's red, just spray some pathway. Pathway is something that kills. It's a natural fruit-based, citrus-based, antiseptic that will kill most of the Borrelia that are there. But basically, you know, as long as you continue to practice good immune optimization, you know, happiness, sunshine, you know, and not worry, and not big one is not worrying, you can be fine. And definitely Leadum cannot hurt. Leadum, by the way, is a remedy for punctures.
Okay.
So what it has been shown to prevent is tetanus.
So what can you tell us? I always get confused about like the strength of the remedies and like the numbers. And I feel like it's like counterintuitive to like how strong things are or not. What should we know about the strengths and the numbers?
Thank you for asking, because you're right. It is kind of, it's confusing. There's a couple of potency scales, but in general, you can find 6C and 30C available in the store, and that those are potencies that, you know, I think anyone can play with. But you can order from Amazon. I mean, I just spoke with someone who had an Arnica 10M. You know, it goes 30C, 200C, 1M, 10M. So it's a pretty high potency. And they were using it. They actually used it after a dog fight injury. Their dog got attacked by another dog in a dog park, and the other dog broke his leg.
Oh my.
Yeah, one of the fun parts of dog park.
Yeah, I have, like, we will never go to a dog park.
Well, that's why I go to my friend's property for pack walks. I know they all get along.
Yeah, it's not even the dogs. It's the dogs, you know, the owners, you know, right. I usually just call them guardians, but these are not even guardians. These are owners. These people, their dogs are just, you know, their dogs.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a dog park in our town. It's actually a really nice dog park. And since I work from home in the summertime, I do take my dogs there during the day because usually we're the only dogs there. And, or maybe there might be one or two other dogs, and that's easy to manage. But before we go, it's in the middle of a huge field. So I walk the field first so I can get a sense of who's at the park and what's the energy like. And, you know, if it's too crowded, we don't go in. But, you know, I've learned that it's pointless to ask questions. Like last year, a dog bit Apollo. Apollo's my husky golden mix, and he's my big, gigantic 80-pound love monkey. And he went over to say hi to a dog or say hi to a person, and the dog was protective and bit him. And he comes back to me and just sits next to me, like really closely. And I'm like, it's okay, we can leave. But you know, my question is, you know, your dog is protective of you because you have your dog up on a table instead of out with the other dogs. Why are you here? But that's what you were saying about, you know, the difference between dog owners and guardians in that sense is there are people who really don't have any idea of dog behavior. I've seen people dragging their extremely high strung, anxious dog into a dog park. And it's just sort of like, you know, this is not okay. you are making your dog absolutely, your dog is physically showing you that they do not want to go there. And you are just completely ignoring your dog because, you know, and it's just, and it's one of those where the last time I saw that, I saw them coming in. I got my dogs to me, because I wasn't sure, because the dog was on a leash. I wasn't sure if they were going to let it go. And I leashed up my dogs and immediately left, because I was just like, this is, I don't want to be here to see what happens. This is not good.
Very, very wise.
Do you have dogs?
At this moment, no. Archie passed away a couple of months ago.
And oh, that was I'm sorry.
Tragic story. In 2020, he was diagnosed with early Lyme kidney disease. Actually, the highest Lyme level I've ever seen in a dog. Now, if you all know, the C6 quants are usually, below 10 is normal, and Archie was 750.
Oh my God, wow.
And his kidneys were going in. It's a bad disease, so I kind of knew at that point that, that we were not going to be happy for long, but that's when Archie taught me the happiness protocol. So I spent all day, every day, doing whatever made him happiest. And I was very fortunate that he was the most food-motivated dog I've ever seen. So he got Happy Meals every 2 hours for months. And in between his Happy Meals, I'm just reaching down here. Do you guys have these snuffle mats?
Yes.
You would use a snuffle mat with a freeze-dried heart in it, often. Mm-hmm. Within a couple of months, his Lyme and his kidneys were all normalizing.
Wow.
And that was again, 2020.
Wow.
No way.
And in October of 2023, I repeated the blood work just because he had started drinking a lot of water. Mm-hmm. And he was in end-stage kidney failure at that point. So we spent the last couple of months just keeping him happy. And it worked. I mean, it allowed him to just peacefully pass away in my arms. And but it was my wife's worst birthday ever.
Oh no.
Well, he died the day after her birthday.
Tell your wife I can totally I got a puppy for my birthday. This was years and years ago. I got a puppy for my birthday, and the puppy died a week later of parvo. It was awful. I got a puppy, and her name was Riley, and she started showing symptoms on the weekend, and she didn't get better. And she passed away. She just got worse and worse, and she passed away a week later. And it was, it kind of just ruins a birthday for a few years. It just kind of blows.
But it sounds really amazing that you had over 3 years together after that initial concern. I mean, that sounds amazing.
Well, thank you, because, I was really happy. And it's a disease that has a prognosis usually of a couple of months.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
About Rainey, who's was a patient in ICU and kidney failure and heart Lyme and heart disease, and she also lived for years after that. Mm-hmm. Again, this just goes back to, we do not appreciate the miracle of the body.
Yeah.
And so I know that you have this wonderful membership community that I'm always reading the emails about, the Holistic Actions. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. Thanks for asking. HA is just the platform. It's now worldwide. We have pet parents learning what we're talking about, learning the happiness protocol, learning how to apply the beam, learning how to integrate nutrition, conventional medicine, homeopathy, or not. I mean, we try to meet people where they are. So whatever they're willing to do, whatever they're able to do, they're able to help their dogs. And it's really, HA, the center of it is something called HMDM, which stands for Holistic Medical Decision Making. So that is using mindful medical decision making based on what's possible, not based on what the prognosis is, not based on what the textbook shows, but based on what's really possible. So HMDM is just step one, is look at the problem and decide what you're trying to do. So is it an emergency? Is your dog bloating? Your priority is saving life and you go to the ER? Or is it a chronic allergy and you're trying to get the symptoms to go away? Or are you trying to get the allergy to go away by treating the underlying susceptibility to triggers, as Kimberly said about your hay fever earlier? Most people don't even realize that it's not that allergies are bad. It's just that you're reacting to things that you shouldn't be reacting to, that we call allergic triggers.
Absolutely.
Step two of HMDM is just do your research. So look outside the box. Look at raw feeding, look at flower essence, look at energy healing, look at all the different possibilities, but start by maybe going to see an internist or going to see an oncologist or to get a definition for what's going on conventionally. And then step number three is just implement whatever it is that you learn. And that may be that you're trying to optimize quality of life for a dog that is in the end stages, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe implement a happy, healthy puppy life. Like, do I go to the vet for all the shots? Or do I go to the vet more often for wellness? Because that's actually what our goal is, to increase the number of vet visits that are happy vet visits.
Yeah.
That way you get eyes on, you get hands on, you get the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
So early disease detection, which Beam is great at, and proactive care. It's actually called 4P medicine, personalized, proactive or preventive, predictive, and participatory. And that's the framework, and we are borrowing it from Dr. Leroy Hood, who's a human immunologist. You can actually look it up on the internet. It's called Scientific Wellness. So the goal of Scientific Wellness is the 4 P's, which is what HA is trying to teach anyone that will listen. And we do that via a Q&A forum. So anytime anyone that's a member has a question, they can post their question on the forum. And one of the vets, one of the other community members, one of the other faculty will answer. We have webinars just about every Monday. Last night was Joan Ranquette teaching about EFT and the emotional freedom technique. They can book one-on-one guidance calls with the veterinarians. So as part of your membership, you get a 50% discount. It's like $30 to get a holistic vet, on your team for 15 minutes and guiding you in whatever direction. And maybe that you need to go to your vet, or you need to go to your oncologist, or it may more commonly be that you need to go outside and go on a good sniff walk.
I love having a framework for these things, because I'm, my brain starts going like, oh, I did that, I did that. Oh, yep, I did that.
Yeah, I know. I love that.
No, it sounds wonderful. And it seems like every month you have kind of like a different theme or focus or something, and bring different speakers in. I get all the email.
Well, thank you. Thank you for being on the email list. And yes, that's exactly right. Every month there's a different theme. We start the year with what we call OM. OM stands for One Health Medicine. And then it moves into energy medicine and the roadmap to health. Then we spend usually April, May, June July, August. So most months we spend on specific things like anxiety, a month about anxiety and strategies to help anxious animals, a month on adrenals, a month on this or that, and then we always end the year with cancer in November and quality of life in December. And the reason we end with quality of life is because that's what it's all about.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, this has just been wonderful.
Yes, this was so much fun. Thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome. And fun is what our dogs are drawn to teach us more than anything else. You know, my meditation is it's basically saying I am, but I realize it should be I am fun. I am fun. So I had a lot of fun with you all today. So thank you.
We're so glad. And we'll have links in the show notes so everybody can learn about your membership program and about working with you. And we're really excited to have had this opportunity.
Thanks again for having me. Thanks so much for your work, because what you're doing is just so needed nowadays. So thank you.
Thank you.